Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast, your backstage pass to revealing conversations with stars, creators, and industry leaders on Broadway, off-Broadway, and beyond. I'm Gordon Cox. On this episode of Stagecraft, I'm talking to the actress Sierra Boggess and the director-choreographer Warren Carlyle. Theater fans will know Boggess from her breakout role as the title character in Disney's stage adaptation of The Little Mermaid, and from the parts she's played since, starring in The Phantom of the Opera, its sequel, Love Never Dies, and a recent LA revival of The Secret Garden. That production of The Secret Garden, earlier this year, was staged by Carlyle, who's directed and choreographed Broadway shows including After Midnight, and choreographed The Music Man with Hugh Jackman, Hello Dolly with Bette Midler, and more. Now he and Boggess have reunited for Harmony, the new Broadway musical by hitmakers Barry Manilow and Bruce Sussman. The show tells the true story of the comedian harmonists, the wildly popular group of German performers, half of whom were Jewish, who rose to stardom in their homeland and around the world in the early 1930s, until their trajectory was cut short by the rise of anti-Semitism and the Nazi Party. After a long 20-plus years in development, Harmony comes to Broadway following an off-Broadway production last year. Now, Boggess and Carlyle are with me in the virtual studio to talk history and harmony, working with Barry, and the rarity of duets for a soprano and a belter. Hello, Sierra and Warren. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So before we talk about Harmony, let's talk about how you, like, and before you even got involved in the project, what was your relationship to Barry Manilow's music? Tell me.
Go on, Sierra, you go first.
Yeah, Sierra's nodding, yeah.
I mean, not huge. It really wasn't. It's like, obviously, I knew Copacabana and all of these famous songs that he did. And my biggest, like, story about him is that my sister, my older sister, Summer, who had just moved to New York, her very first job was to play for him, play cello in his orchestra at Madison Square Garden. So it was like, I knew it was a big deal that she has this job at that venue with that icon. And so it's always just been that's my knowledge. It's very like I was very removed, and he was very much just like a very famous person, you know, and just an icon and a name that I knew. But that was my limited, really, you know, knowledge of Barry.
Yeah. And Warren, what about for you? Did you grow up
with
his music?
I have an amazing Barry and Bruce Sussman story too. So 30 years ago, they premiered a little known musical called Copacabana, and they didn't premiere it in America. They premiered it in the West End of London. Mm. And in my previous life, I was the lead bolero dancer in that production.
Oh, I was not aware of that.
So my introduction to Bruce and to Barry was actually, I was a dancer in a West End show, and I was in the rehearsal room with them. They were actually very friendly. We were close even back then. And over the last 30 years, they've both stayed in touch. Mm. They've been kind of miraculous friends in and out of my life. And then finally, 4 years ago, here comes Harmony. So I've always, you know, for 30 years, I've known Bruce and Barry. And of course, you know, no one writes a melody quite like Barry, and no one writes a scene quite like Bruce. I mean, they're just extraordinary fellas. And then together, for them to come together and write Harmony is really kind of wonderful.
Yeah. And so what's it, Sierra, for you, as you're getting to know his music through this new to most people stuff that you're singing, but tell me about kind of what you've gotten to know about him and his music.
Well, I honestly think he's a genius. In our show in particular, every song is different. So it's like 20 different styles of music in one show. And for those that are thinking, well, that, you know, that sounds disjointed, I wouldn't want that. It's quite the opposite. It's like you can never get bored, and you are always on your toes, and everyone gets to sing. Like, we all talk about that there, we want shows for people who can sing. It's what we trained for. And Barry writes music that you must be able to know how to sing. And so you get to use your full instrument. So I honestly love it. And I love hearing what everyone gets to sing in this show, and the harmonies that he wrote. Mm. It's, you know, it's called harmony, but it really is. They sing in harmony the entire show. It's really special, and there's no sound like it on Broadway right now.
And so, Warren, so as you say, you knew Barry and Bruce, but at what point did you become aware of the project? And then at what point, because the project has been around for a while, and then at what point did it become a discussion for you to get involved?
It's interesting. So about four years ago, Bruce and Barry sent it to me and just said, what do you think? Would you ever be interested?
Had you heard of it before then? Did you know it had happened?
No, I mean, maybe a little bit. I don't really remember, to be honest, but, you know, it's a very easy thing to look up, of course. As soon as they said, what about harmony? Of course, I was able to Google and look and, you know, look back at La Jolla, look back at Atlanta and the Amundsen. But I really didn't look at any images. What I did, I read the script very carefully and listened to the music very carefully. And I just, you know, it's a beautiful marriage. Barry is so emotional. He writes these beautiful emotional melodies. And Bruce is like a scalpel. He's so sharp and so concise and so focused on story. It's like the marriage of this kind of very, very intelligent writing and this very emotional music. It really grabbed me, I have to say.
Mm. Yeah. And so, Sierra, you signed on just before the off-Broadway production at the Museum of Jewish Heritage, is that right?
Yeah.
And so this is a show that, like, revolves largely around the men. And so what got you interested in playing, you know, one of the two really major female roles in the show?
I think I'm getting this timeline right, but Warren, we had just done Secret Garden first, right? Mm-hmm. So that began...
You and Warren, we should clarify. Yeah, this was in LA, yeah.
No, before then. We had just done a workshop of Secret Garden.
Ah. And Warren... Oh, okay. Got it.
So Warren was directing this, and that was our first time working together. And then this came around. Then Harmony came around, this new... I had also never heard of it. And then this came around to be a part of the beginning of this version of this production. And I wanted, honestly, I wanted to work with Warren again. I'm like, Warren's directing this. I feel safe about stepping in. And then, like, just spiritually, once I realized what this show was, I learned Rebecca Luker had originated the role of Mary in the very first iteration of Harmony. And I'm like, oh, there's something to this. And I have fallen really in love with this character that I play called Mary. We've talked about that the women in this show, it is about the six guys. So when the women are there, we are helping tell their story, but we're also helping tell the story of what that time was like to be German in 1920s, 1930s, and my character is not Jewish until I convert to Judaism in order to marry the love of my life. And so what that means for her, and I've just have this whole new respect for especially the women in that time, and how brave you have to be, how unbelievably brave. And that has been something that's just like, I don't know. I've been really enjoying finding that through line of, I don't know, what it's like to be in that time and the type of woman that Mary was.
One of the other prominent woman in the show is played by Julie Benko, who was just in Funny Girl. She had a kind of breakout performance as kind of the alternate in Funny Girl, and the two of you get a really good duet. What's it like to sort of sing the? You were talking about the fact that these are songs for real singers. What's it like to sort of sing these songs with, you know, like your solos and then with Julie and others?
Yeah, that second act duet is certainly like a gift and will probably be on the Do Not Sing list like pretty soon because everybody has fallen in love with it. It's so great that there is another duet that is soprano and belter, you know, that's like we have very few of those things and people look for that. And especially there's so many women in our industry. There's so many, right? There's like tons more than there are men in our industry. So we're always looking for things to sing together. And I honestly think this is going to be one of those songs that that people will do. And it is such a gift to get to sing with another artist who I think is really fabulous. And we both are, we're so determined to tell their stories. They're such different women in this show. And we've talked about like the stuff that you don't see. So the scenes that aren't there, the things that, which, you know, as any good actor does, you think, okay, what's happened right before that I've come into this. And, for example, Mary's a seamstress. She is not out on the front line. She is not marching. She is not handing out flyers. She is not lighting things on fire. And Julie's character of Ruth is. They're complete opposites, but they love each other so much. They are supporting each other. And what can Mary do? Okay, I can make you a coat because I see you only have a red beret on. And you said that you have to wear red if you're a Bolshevik. So I'm going to make you a whole red coat. You know, I'm going to rip the fabric off this couch I found. Isn't this so cool? And now you have a red coat and go and do your thing. That's what I can do. That has been really fun for us. And it's melded their journeys together. And it makes it more about just they're the wives of, you know, we are.
Right.
But we also are these separate people that that also love each other. And I always think it's so good to, people love to pit women against each other. And so I love a story where the women are not pitted against each other.
Yeah, yeah. As you mentioned, it's your big duet is a for a soprano and a belter. And I was thinking as I was listening to it, I was like, wow, you never hear that combination. Like it just doesn't happen that much. And it's fun to hear it. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. So I wonder if you could both also talk me through kind of your research process for this. How much did kind of historical information inform both of your processes? I guess, Warren, let's start with you in terms of how did your research into the time and to the real life stories that inspired this show influence what we see on stage?
It's interesting. I listened a lot. It's funny. I listened a lot to the music. And then, of course, I realized that Barry had beautifully done his homework. Of course, it's like, it's beautifully period. It's beautifully researched. The harmonies are really period correct. I did a ton of research about how the world looked, you know, what was going on at that time. What did it look like? What did the streets look like? What did a marriage look like? We have a beautiful, I have a Jewish consultant called Dr. Irving Berkowitz. He's been very helpful in making sure that I'm correct with all of my Jewish language, with my relationships, with what's going on in the world, even with some of the design elements. He's been a really good resource for me. But then my challenge, of course, is to take something real and then make it theatrical, you know, turn a real person into a puppet in act two. You know, it's like, how do you take a real story, make three-dimensional, believable characters, but also allow this thing to kind of take off when you need it to take off? So I did a lot, and I would say always inspired by period, not bound by period. Like, I don't want to do a museum piece. I don't want to teach a history class. Yeah. I would like to entertain, and then I would like to terrify, and then I would like to entertain, and then I would like to terrify.
Right.
So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. And how much material still exists from the Comedian Harmonists? Were you able to? Is there anything that you could even look like? Yeah. Tell me about.
There's maybe two minutes of movie footage. At most, the movies really have disappeared. And the recordings, you can get your hands on recordings. There are some albums floating around that you can get. And of course, people in Germany are still huge fans of Comedian Harmonists. There are like tribute bands or like tribute groups that have formed that continue to sing in that style, that continue to sing that material and continue to honor these six lives.
And so all the sequences then that we see of them performing, those are entirely original. They are, you know, directed and choreographed by you and written by Barry and Bruce. And,
yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Correct.
And how did you, what was the spirit that you aimed to capture in those pieces that you felt like was inspired by what you knew of the historical comedian harmonists?
It's funny, you know, Barry says this really beautifully. He said it's a cross between the Manhattan Transfer and the Marx Brothers. And that's what I took away from it, actually. It's like, God, I have to make something that sounds really extraordinary, and I have to maintain the integrity of that. But God, I better also get some laughs, because they are called the comedian harmonists.
Right.
You know, so that was on my desk as I created it. It's like, God, I have to do something that's really beautiful musically, but I also have to entertain.
Yeah, yeah. And then Sierra, for you, how did you go about researching? I'm assuming the character you're playing, it was a real person. And so how much did you investigate her life? And then the kind of, as Warren did, the kind of, you know, the situation in which she lived.
Yeah. I was always a really terrible student, like terrible. Like, I'm really not a cerebral, book smart like person at all. So I'm very much go on feeling, and I'm not like a research. I got to get my hands on history books. Like our leading man, Chip Zion, he was a history major. So like, you know, it's different things like that. So I really learned from reading my script, my own feeling. And then I would look for, because I'm very visual, I would look for things. There's what's tricky is the time that we're in is pre crazy Nazi power and Hitler fully. Right. And it's hard. There's not a lot of that, because once it hits like all the concentration camps and the full war, there's tons because it's so insane and so just pure evil. But what's interesting psychologically is that we're in the beginning of that. And also what's interesting, and Warren has talked with us so much about the characters in this piece can't know what the audience knows, which is how bad it gets. So part of me is like, well, I don't wanna know too much. And I want to feel as we are in the room and we're developing our own language of what this is, I want to feel this, which makes my process take longer than some. But it's how I always work. And then Warren talked about briefly about Dr. Berkowitz, who Warren then brought in for us so that he could talk to us for 2 solid hours. And it was like we could have gone for an entire day with this man because it was so helpful. And for me to be able to ask a question about what the non-Jewish people are doing who are in love with I'm in love with a Jewish man, my best friend is Jewish, what would I be doing? And he said something so powerful that I'll never forget about, he said, you would like to think that you would not give up your Jewish friends. You would like to think, and then that got into a way more intense discussion about, and that's why I say brave, because those that didn't give up their best friends or loves or any of this, like because they were being offered power, they were being offered money, they were being offered safety for their family. Like it was so like just, and that set for me just the intensity of the feeling of what's going on, because something else about Mary is that she sees everything. So she's kind of the only one in this piece that sort of is allowed to show that something is wrong when everybody else around her is maybe reacting more positively or thinking that it's going to be okay. And that's what you ask about my first song that I sing. It's literally called What Do You See? And I feel it as a responsibility, almost as a challenge to the audience as well. What do you see in this time when there is, you know, you're coming to watch a musical and feel joy and hope, but also what do you see that's out there? And the, you know, the war going on right now and all of this stuff, it just all, I guess all of this to say, the research, yes, happened, but now isn't it interesting how the show grows? You don't have to research, it's happening right now.
I'll have more with Sierra and Warren right after the break. Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. And now, here's more with the actor Sierra Boggess and the director, choreographer, Warren Carlyle.
Harmony in some version, in one version or another, has been around for a long time. It's a project that Barry and Bruce have been very committed to. What, for each of you, is the core of the story, and what explains for you their passion for it? Warren, let's start with you.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think what I do for a living has saved me so many times over the years. And the thought of going into a room with a group of people and creating harmony when the world around us is so chaotic, that appeals to me over and over and over again. And I can apply it to many projects, not just harmony. And I wonder if for Bruce and Barry too, this has been such a, when they're in the room, I gotta say, it's such a safe, happy, wonderful thing when the family's all together and we're all just in that rehearsal room making stories, making each other laugh, making each other cry, searching for the truth. That's a happy time. That's a happy place. And the rest of the world kind of recedes in those moments. And I would, if I had to hazard a guess, that's what I would guess as to why they've never given up. Because it's worth our time. This particular story is really worth all of our time and all of our efforts in bringing it to life. But it's a happy, that rehearsal room is a really, really happy place.
Well, so tell me about how the show moves, Warren, because you're not only the director, you're also the choreographer. Just tell me about your thinking about how you thought about the movement vocabulary of the show.
It's tricky, you know, it's called harmony. So it's like, oh, blimey, I got to deal with the music first. And then the dancing is like fifth on the list. Mm. So it's actually been a bigger challenge. Making this show move has been a much bigger challenge than The Music Man or Hello Dolly or Kiss Me Kate. Like those shows dance and move very easily. Harmony is really a puzzle for me as a choreographer, because our leading men, our six guys, our six harmonists are fantastic. They are not born dancers. They are not dancers first, mm-hmm. you know. So it's to find a way, and also they're real men, like they're real guys. They're not like some fantasy. It's not a fantasy man who jumps up and dances. So it's finding a vocabulary that they're able to do, that they're able to execute well, that's got imagination to it and theatricality to it, but without having a kind of New York City ballet rigor mm-hmm. or technique to it. And I think that's the challenge, but that's also the opportunity. Things like the Come to the Fatherland, the puppet number, it's like it forced me to have an even bigger, braver idea because I'm not working at New York City Ballet. Mm. You know, it's like that, even the movement in the subway in the opening sequence was I wanted those Krupa drums. I wanted 1930s. I wanted rhythm because we've been in melody so long. I wanted something percussive. I wanted something athletic. How can I serve you, which is the waiters and all that stuff. That just had to become, I had to get a laugh. No matter how I did it, I had to get a laugh. And that became through the movement and through a high speed kind of meal that should feel improvised. You know, that was the other challenge, is like, I shouldn't have a visible hand in this evening. It shouldn't look like it was directed or choreographed by Warren Carlyle. It should look like these guys are coming up with it in the moment. So that was another big mission of mine, was to try and make it look improvised, very much in the moment. But the choreography, yeah, this is one of the most, finding a way to make this move and make it dance has been one of the biggest challenges.
Mm, yeah. And then, Sierra, you mentioned that Chip Zine is in the show. He is a storied musical theater performer. He's known to many. And it's my understanding that his character is a relatively recent addition to the story. What do you feel like he is for people who haven't seen the show yet? He is an older character who is looking back on these events. What do you feel like his interplay with the story brings to it?
I think it changed everything when Chip was added to the show, because Warren and I did the reading. Go on, Warren.
I was going to say, Gordon, this is a brilliant question, because Sierra and I did a very early reading 4 years ago. We did a very early reading that did not have the character of Chip in it. It didn't have the older rabbi. We hadn't yet split that character into two parts. So I was going to ask Sierra that exact question, like what changed between our very first reading and then during the pandemic, of course, Bruce Sussman comes with his genius idea of splitting a character in half. I'm so curious, Sierra, on your take on it.
But do you remember, so my favorite story is Warren called me just to talk about that we're, you know, that Harmony's moving forward. And then, but I didn't know yet about Chip. And he said, so I still think it's the script that we did. And Warren says, we're just talking, and then he said, you know, it's the lines are going to hit so much more when, you know, Chip Zine says, da da da. And I was like, oh, ha ha. And then I realized, and then he kept going, and I realized, like, wait, I was like, Warren, do you mean that Chip Zine is doing this? And he was like, yes, yeah. And Warren didn't know at that point. Chip's one of my best friends. Chip and I have worked together probably 5 different shows. He was my father in Should Have Been You. We did a thing. I was Julie Andrews and he was Frederick Lowe. I was his trophy wife in one of the early versions of this new Sondheim piece. It's like and then we live a block from each other. So And I asked Warren, I said, please, can I call him? Does he know yet? Does he know? And it was like, we didn't know how, just everything for, it was just the best. It was the best. And so, and I personally think Chip is one of the greatest actors of our time. And he is so like beautifully complex and so fucking honest on stage. It's just like, it's another level, and he's a masterclass. He just is.
It's interesting, Gordon, from my point of view, you know, adding the character of older rabbi or Chip really changed the whole production, because, you know, before that I was kind of looking at these 6 guys in a kind of wide shot and trying to tell 6 stories. And that's a 6-headed dragon that's kind of impossible to slay. But once we added Chip, then suddenly my whole point of view shifted. Now I know the lens through which I'm telling the story. And it's like, well, how does the set look? Well, what does Rabbi see? How does Mary look? What does Rabbi see? How does Mary sound? What does he remember? So I suddenly had this beautiful memory play, all from a very specific point of view. So Chip actually, you know, the addition of Chip gave me it unlocked the whole thing, including all the design of it.
Yeah. So you are in previews right now as we are talking. Tell me about what you've learned about the show in front of now Broadway audiences.
It's interesting. I've learned that audiences get information very quickly. People understand things. Like they have like 10 seconds. Like you watch YouTube for 10 seconds and then you go to the next thing. So I've learned that my rate of new ideas, especially in Act One, my rate of new ideas has to go as fast as I can possibly go, because the audience actually already know how the story ends. They don't know how I'm going to get there. They don't know how I'm going to journey, but they do know where it ends. So in Act One, especially, my rate of new ideas has got to go as fast as I can. I have to try and stay ahead of the audience. And any of the kind of banter, that's what we've learned with the fellas. Anything that isn't story has got to go. And that's what we've learned. We've probably taken 4 minutes out of Act One this go around. Downtown, we took 26 minutes out.
Oh, wow.
You know, we've been paring away. And Bruce, you know, Bruce Sussman has been rigorous with it, too. He's been rigorous with this story. And like, what's the most economical way to tell it? What's the most theatrical way to tell it? So audiences are very, they don't lie. If I see 1,000 people turning through their playbills, I know I got to get on with it. So that I watch the audience actually almost as much as I watch the actors in previews.
Yeah. And Sierra, are you enjoying being back on Broadway?
Yeah. I honestly really am. I feel like this isn't just like some cheesy thing to say, but it feels like coming home. It really does. Mm. And also just, I feel so excited about telling this story, that this is the thing I get to come back with. It's like returning home with a story that's like, that really, really means something. And that is so relevant to what's going on in the world today. I just feel really honored to be telling this story and to be, and I'm grateful to be a part of this piece.
Yeah. Sierra, you are in the show for the foreseeable future, but do you have anything else on your plate that we should be aware of coming up for you?
Always. That's it.
That's all you got? Okay, that's all you can tell us? All right. Warren, what's next for you?
So, you know, Sierra and I have, for about how many years? 5 years?
I feel like at least.
A lot of years. I mean, Secret Garden. So Secret Garden is I can speak for myself, I won't speak for Sierra, but for me it's been a passion project for the last couple of years. I continue to work on that and work on that and work on that. And that's something that I'm making for Sierra. Like I would want to make that production for her. And I hope one year, sooner rather than later, it will be in New York.
Great.
So I'm focused on that. I have a project for Roundabout too that's coming up.
Right.
And
what is that? Do we know what that is?
No, we don't
know. Okay, great. Got it. Didn't think so. All right, I'll keep that. Be on the lookout. We'll be on the lookout for that and for the Secret Garden. But first, we'll be on the lookout for Harmony. Thank you both. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Sierra Boggess and Warren Carlyle of the Broadway musical Harmony, now playing at the Ethel Barrymore Theater. If you enjoyed this conversation here on Stagecraft, I'd really appreciate it if you took the time to rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. It really does help. Or tell a friend about Stagecraft. Find past episodes and subscribe at all the places you get your pods, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on the Broadway Podcast Network, a great place to find more theater for your ears. Until next episode, find me on Instagram and Twitter at Gordon B. Cox. You can also check out my new newsletter about international theater. It's called Jaques, and it's at gordoncox.substack.com. Thanks for listening, and see you at the theater.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.